Now, I want you to turn your Bibles this evening. If you will, I want to give you just a simple little thought, something that we already all know, something that when I give you the turn, 1 Peter chapter 3, if you will, we're going to look at one verse tonight, and I trust that it'll be a blessing to you, a blessing to your heart. And if you'll stand with me, we'll read one verse, we'll have a word of prayer, and then after that, you'll be at liberty to be seated. Now, if you can't stand, we understand, okay? We understand. If you can't stand, that's fine. But if you can stand, 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to give you one verse tonight to think about, and it's verse 12. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. He says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." It just opens up, makes that statement, and closes. "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers." But then he says down in it, he said, "Open unto the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Now let's have prayer, and then you can be seated. Our fathers, we come again to the throne. It's in the blessed name of the Lord Jesus. Father, it's with a grateful, thankful heart. I bow my head one more time to say to you, Lord, that a sinner loves you. I thank you, Father, for your mercy, your faithfulness, your long-suffering, your forbearance, your patience. And Lord, as we have this privilege, as we have this opportunity, I ask you now, Father, please, that you'll fill my mind with the words that you'd have me to say. Lord, I think about what Paul said. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Give us that power for just a little while as we look into the Scriptures, as we think about different passages. And Lord, I pray, Father, that it might draw your people closer to you and make the desire in all of us to want to pray more and seek thy face. Lord, you're the one that said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So, Father, you bless for a little while. If there's one with us lost, save them. One cold and indifferent, warm their hearts. Encourage, edify, exhort, and equip. We'll thank you and praise you for all that you so kindly do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, there's been a lot of people that's affected my heart down through the years. A lot of people that's told me different things concerning prayer. A lot of people that suggested this, suggested that, made this statement, made that statement. But I used to work at a chemical company. And may I say to you, it was a legal chemical company, okay? Y'all will get that in just a second, okay? But you know, as working at that, we'd have to go down to another chemical company. We'd wear trucks, then we'd put on the chemical into the tank, the tankers that there were, and then we would go and we would deliver, and we had the proof of the weight that was in it. And you know, I think about an old preacher that was there. He may be dead and gone for all I know now. I just remembering I was just first saved. And you know, he's white-headed, about 5'9", wasn't a heavy-built man or anything like that. Always had a good spirit. He either had a toothpick in his mouth or had a toothpick right up here like that. And you know, I went in one day and I was talking to him about prayer. And he said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing, preacher," our brother Steve, he said, "I'll tell you this." He said, "If God don't answer my prayers, I'm going to get out on my knees and find out why." And that's some of the simplest theology, but some of the most complete theology when it comes to praying. Do we pray enough? I think about a gospel tract, how it said the soul went in on the outside, and then you open it up, and it says, "Just do it. Just do it." Well, may I say to you, a friend of mine, I think about what Brother Rick Gravely, a personal friend of mine, as well as a pastor, supporting pastor of mine, I think about what he says. He made this statement several years ago. He was at our church on an awesome August. And he made this statement. He said, "The average lay member prays 3 minutes per day." The average lay member prays 3 minutes per day. And the average preacher prays 10 minutes per day. And so we begin to wonder what's going on and why things are taking place and what's happening in our country. Maybe we have to blame our own selves and our own selves to blame and no one else. But as you think about prayer tonight, I want you to notice with me In this passage of Scripture, God uses the anatomy of the head to describe His heart and what He wants to say to you and I. He said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." And then he just stops that verse. Now, it's not the end of the chapter. We know that. But it caught my heart, and I think about that. I see, number one, he speaks of the eyes. He gives us four things, if you'll look in that verse. He gives us, number one, the eyes. If you'll look with me, number two, he gives us the ears. Then if you'll look with me, number three, he gives us the face of the Lord. And then, number four, we see his heart. I want you to see that his heart. Can I say to you tonight, if you're a new believer or if you hadn't been saved very long, God's on your side. He cares for you. He cares what happens to you. And listen, friend, God knows all about it. And the Bible says, "Cast in all thy care upon him, for he careth for you." And as we dissect this one verse, I want you to notice with me, number one, we see the omnipotence care. Notice with me what it says. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. God's ever looking. God's looking at you. God's looking at me. When this morning came, and as I woke up, and as I began to wipe the sleep out of my eyes and wash my face and prepare for this morning, God saw me. As I lay my head down tonight and I slip off to sleep, God will see me. And I'll say the same thing to you. God sees each and every one of us. I think about while the guitar player was playing, that little old girl that was up there with him, little old bitty thing. It's probably his daughter, I guess. And what I'm saying to you, God sees that little old child. God's interested in that little old child. And God wants to see one day, if she's not already, that little old child become his and saved and know Christ in the free pardon of sin. It needs a church like this. It needs a pastor like this. It needs a people like this, that it can grow up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Who knows what God wants to do in that little old girl's life? And so as we think about it, we see there's omnipotence care. Secondly, we see the obedient child. Notice with me what he says. He said, "Against them that do evil." Now, if you do right, you do good, then he's not against you. I want you to understand that. You know, Isaiah chapter 1, we all know verse 18. But what does he say in verse 19? He said, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And I found that's the case with the Lord. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I think about what he says in, I believe it's Psalms 37 and about verse 23. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I've seen, I've been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken. And there's argument on that. Well, that's Old Testament. It is not today. Well, I'll tell you something. I hadn't starved. Have y'all starved? Listen, God's been good to this old boy. I don't know about y'all, but God's been good to me. And so we see, secondly, there's the obedient child. If you're obedient, God will bless. We see the obligation conveyed. I want you to notice with me what he says. He said, "Open unto their prayers." I didn't say that. I can't make that promise. I can say to you tonight, well, we'll see you down at Walmart or something like that. We'll meet you there a little later on. And with good intentions, said that with the intention of coming and meeting, and then something happened and I can't make it. Oh, but he's the one that said, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you." Aren't you glad that our God is a God that is concerned about each and every one of us? He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in my life. And God's concerned about that. And it's all in the condition, the obligation conveyed, unto open unto their prayers. And so we see there's a thing there, and the thing that I'm trying to say is this, open unto their prayers. How often are you praying? How often are you seeking the face of God? How long has it been since you've spent a length of time in prayer? Have you spent more than just 2 or 3 minutes as the statistic has been given? Or do you spend times of prayer there? Do you go down the road? Do you have him on your heart? Do you have him on your mind? Do you pray? And everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Listen, friend of mine, I'm talking to you about the simple thing that us people are failing to do, and that's to pray. I think about the choir loft. I think about this section right here. We used to be a member of the Bible Way Baptist Church. Of course, that was in Dalton, Georgia, okay? And, you know, listen, that was the first church that the second church after I was saved that I became a member of. I was introduced into independent Baptist work. I was introduced into independent Baptist missions and what goes on in the independent Baptist church. And I can remember our pastor on Saturday nights, Brother Ed Ballou's brother. Many of y'all may know him. His brother's name was Brother Bobby. And Brother Bobby was our pastor. And, you know, we would have, on Saturday evening, we'd have a prayer meeting. The ladies would go out to Miss Peggy, which was his wife, Miss Peggy Ballou, go out to her house, and they would pray there. But us men, we would gather in where we'd play. I played the bass guitar before I got saved, and then after I got saved, I started playing the bass guitar in the church with the choir and with the piano. Miss Peggy was our piano player. I think about our pastor. All of us men would gather in, and the men would begin to pray. Brother Blue would always find himself right here. This is his spot. This is where he would pray. I think about Brother Freddie Early. He's in heaven now. He was our choir director. And Brother Freddie, he would find his way somewhere around in here because he was praying over the choir loft. And other men would pray. And we'd seek the face of God and ask God to bless. And maybe on Saturday, we'd been out on visitation, knocking on doors and inviting people to come to the house of God. And, you know, come Sunday, maybe those that we invited, they didn't show up. But you know what? God would send one in here. And God would send one in here. And God would send one in here. I've seen people of all sorts come into the house of God, and they'd get saved, and they'd get right, and they'd come to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. It's not because we were such great soul winners. It's not because we were such a great church. It was because of one thing. He was answering the prayers. And he says unto the prayers, have you been praying? Have you been seeking his face? Have you been calling out to God? Is it more than now I lay me down to sleep? I pray my Lord my soul to take. If I die before I wake, I pray my Lord my soul to keep. Or however it goes, God bless Mama June Bugs, Daddy, sis, and the rest. Get me up in the morning. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's the way I was taught when I was a kid. I can still remember that. And what I'm saying to you, what does prayer mean to you? Do you still take time at your lunch? Do you still take time when you leave the house that you ask the blessing upon the food that you're about to receive before you go off to work? Do you take time when you come in or if you go out somewhere and you eat somewhere and that's your prerogative and so forth and so on? But do you ask the blessing? Listen, sometimes when I see people and they're asking the blessing on their food as we get up to leave, if we leave first, I may pass by and just simply say, thank you for praying over your food and letting them know that, one, somebody's watching, somebody saw too, and listen, we appreciate it. God wants to hear from you. I don't know what you think about God. You may have the idea that he's somewhere way out yonder. Oh, no, 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 no. If you're saved, he's somewhere deep down inside. Amen. Oh, that's where he's living. He's not hanging on to a kidney. He's not standing on a liver. He's not standing in front of the heart or the vertebrates or whatever. He's mixing and mingling alongside the bosom of your soul and my soul and lives inside. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, which you're not your own. You bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and spirit, which are God's. I want you to know, friend of mine, when you get saved, you become his. I became his, and he become ours, and we belong to him. And listen, friend, he wants to hear from you. You have not because you ask not. You ask amiss that you may consume upon your own lust. Listen, God just wants to hear you pray. It's not necessarily how loud. It's not necessarily how long. It's not necessarily this or that, but it's just seeking the face of God. Hey, listen, where you can get a hold of the horns of the altar. I remember many long years ago, could not tell you the name of the church. Gail and I were in the Bristol, Virginia area. You know, there's Tennessee, then there's Virginia side. I don't know where we were at, okay? But we were preaching there, and I had the opportunity to present in our work. And I think about the old gentleman pastor. He called on a dear brother in that church to pray. And I tell you, big church, fancy church. I don't know about y'all, but I come from a little old Baptist church. Amen. And you know, listen, we were just country folk that just got saved. And I think about how that man got up out of his pew, kneeled down beside that pew, and began to humbly call out to God, seeking His face. And that's probably been 40 plus years ago, and I've never forgot that, because that man was calling out in sincerity. He was calling out in truth, and he was asking God to place His blessings upon the service for that evening. Oh, friend of mine, listen, there's so much, and yet at the same time, there's so little that we ask of Him. And God's the one that said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians chapter 3. It's the second apostolic prayer of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians church. And down in verse 20, let me give it to you. You probably heard it before. I know you've quoted it or read it before. Now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh in us. Listen, friend of mine, let the power of God work in you. And God says, hey, I'll do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or think. I think about Psalms 37 in verse 4. I quoted it this evening to a lady, I think it was. And anyway, to make a long story short, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Listen, friend of mine, what did you say in John 15 and verse 7? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. What did you say in Matthew 7, I believe it is, verse 7 and 8? He said, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. You know why you have not in your prayer life? It's because you've not been praying and seeking the face of God and calling out to God and asking God for the mercy and the grace that we stand in need of. Do you pray before you go in the mornings as you go off to work? Are you one of them, let me say it like this, if you start the job at 8 o'clock in the morning, do you just get up and put your blue jeans or whatever, I'll get it out there in a minute, okay? Y'all bear with me. If you have a uniform, you put your uniform on and you maybe throw something in the microwave and get a cup of coffee and out the door you go. Or do you spend time in prayer seeking the face of God and asking Him? Listen, friend, it'd do you better if you'd been up about 5:30 in the morning, maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, and you had some time alone in prayer asking God for the day and seeking the face of the Lord and asking Him that He would help you in your time of need and whatever may come your way. Listen to me, friend. I'm talking to you about old-fashioned praying. I'm talking to you about asking and receiving. I'm talking to you about intercessory prayer. I'm talking to you about prayers and supplications. We'll talk about that in just a minute. I'm talking to you simply about one thing, just getting down and doing it. Amen. Listen, friend, I think each and every one of us could raise our hands that we're guilty in the fact that we have not prayed and sought the face of God on a regular, a close basis. It's told about the story of the Apostle James that he had calluses on his knees. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm telling you what was told. And he had calluses on his knees where he would pray and he would seek the face of God and he'd spend long lengths of time in prayer. Let me ask this question right here. Have you ever had an all-night prayer meeting? Have you ever had one? I don't know if I can pray that long. Hey, you don't know that you can't either, amen? All you got to do is get out there and do it, amen? Just try it. Listen to me. Get in the bed about 7 o'clock in the evening. Turn the boob tube off. Turn the lights off. Turn the phones off. Turn the radio off. Turn whatever off that you need to turn off. And get up at 12 o'clock in the evening. Get up at 12 midnight. Maybe go in there and, do some coffee. You say, well, I don't drink coffee. Good. Give me yours and I'll drink it, okay? Listen to me. And just... spend some time maybe starting out with prayer and seeking His face and maybe some meditation in the Scriptures. Most every time, not every time, but most every time that I've done that, He usually meets with me and He gives me a verse through the Scriptures, and then I start my prayer life out. Hey, what about taking those prayer requests and putting them down on paper and having it before the Lord and you're going down through each and everything that you've been praying for. You've been praying for those wayward children. You've been praying for those grandbabies that God will save them. Listen, friend, God will do for you if you'll just let Him. There's some things out there that are impossible and too hard for your hands and my hands and our eyes and our lives to be able to do. But oh, friend of mine, the Bible says in both Old and New Testament, God is able, amen, to do exceedingly, abundantly above. And God can hear and answer your prayers. What about that wayward one? What about that one? Listen, I go into churches quite often. It's been a while now. But I'll have somebody to walk up to me. And usually I begin to see that bottom lip begin to quiver. It might be a wife. It may be a husband. It may be a mother. It may be it could be a child. It could be a husband or whatever, or a grandparent. And they're beginning, and that lip will begin to quiver. And then they'll say, I know what they're going to say. Pray for my son. Pray for my daughter. Pray for my boy. Pray for my husband. Pray for my wife. They're doing time, and they're doing time in such and such prison. I was several years ago in a prison revival in North Carolina. I was given the invitation, and two ladies started coming forward. One was a young woman. The other one was an older woman. And I didn't know what they were up to. I thought, now here comes mischief. I'll just be honest with you. And I looked down at them and I said, what have you come for? I wasn't curt or nothing like that, but I was stern because I didn't want trouble in that service, if you understand. Especially in the invitation when God's dealing with sinners about getting saved. And so I looked at them and I said, what have you come for? And they said, we've come to pray. And I talked, I said something else to them, and one of them said, this is my daughter, and this is my mother. And there a mother and a daughter are doing time in the same prison. Hey, listen, friend, I understand to a degree. I've never been incarcerated. I've never spent the first night in jail. I hope to God that I don't. But listen, what I'm saying to you, there's some hard things out there, and God alone is the only one. I think about a little old red-headed woman in our church. She'd come and she is praying for her husband. And she'd stand up and she'd say, y'all pray for my husband, God will save him. Y'all pray for my husband that God will save him. I don't care if the preacher preached on heaven. I don't care if he preached on hell. I don't care if he preached on the second coming. I don't care if he preached out of the book of whatever. Listen, every service, she'd slide into that altar. She'd come right over here about this side, and she'd be praying, and she'd be asking, and she'd be begging, God, save my man. God, save my man. You got to save my husband. Oh, God, save my husband. And you know what? Listen, I've been by on visitation with a church and knocked on his door and, tried to talk to him and in one ear and out the other. But I think about one Saturday when one of our teams was together, two men, they stopped by to see him. And just lo and behold, he had that little old baby out there in his arms. Had that little old baby in his arms like that right there, preacher. And, listen, they began to talk to him about being saved. And he said, oh, I'm saved. I'm saved. That little old baby grabbed his pawpaw's face, turned it around, and said, now, pawpaw, you know you're not saved. And you know what happened? The next morning on Sunday, guess where he was at? He's at church. He went to church. Hey, guess what happened? The next Sunday, he was at church. He was. Guess what happened? The next Sunday, he is at church, and guess what? He got saved. Amen. I'm telling you. And you know what? He's faithful. He comes to the house of God. He's there on Sunday morning. Sometimes if he's hurting, he might not be able to be there. But he's there on Wednesday nights, and he's there on Sunday nights. And I'll always walk up to him, and he'll say, morning, glory. Like that right there, and I'll say, how you doing? Hey, he's saved, and he knows. That little old woman prayed for her husband. I think about preaching out in West Tennessee, And I'm out there preaching right before Christmas, and I give the invitation, and a man on this side raised his hand. It's me. I'm the one. I'm the one. It's me. And I gave the invitation to come forward to get saved. And he comes forward, and he gets on his knees. He's beginning to pray, and people are gathering around him. Here comes his little red-headed wife, and she began to pray for him. And they were up in the age. And, you know, listen, as she was finishing praying for him and he was getting saved, she looked up and she said, "Steve, I've been praying for this for 39 years. God save my man." Amen. And it took that while. But guess what? God answered her prayers. You look over in Luke 18 and verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." I think about the world's smallest evangelist, Brother Bobby Brindle. He's gone now. He's in heaven. Oh, Bobby, he was preaching one Sunday. He said he come out of the pulpit. He walked up to that fella. He said, "And I looked him in his God-given kneecap." Y'all will get that in a minute. He's 3'9" tall. And old Bobby, he would come along and he'd say, "And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." He'd say it's in order to pray and it's out of order to faint. But according to the flesh, it's in order to faint and it's out of order to pray. So you got to make your mind up on what you're going to do. You got to look around, and there's difficult things that are coming our way. It's been several years ago. I just left my house and went down just a little ways from my house. There's a high school over there, and it's out in the country, but they have a red light there. I was sitting there and pulled up behind a car. It was two young men. Are you listening to me? It was two young men, and they couldn't wait for that red light to hit, and they could stop that little old car that they was in to put their hands all over each other in a kiss and whatever. I'm telling you, friend, we're living in dire straits, and we're living in dire times, and we need the touch of God upon our lives and the hand of the Lord to help us in times of need. Amen. I'm saying to you, friend, listen, God will hear. He'll answer. He'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. Well, I'm going to get to my outline now. Amen. Y'all say amen or oh me, amen, oh man. I got the longest drive home tonight, okay? I live in North Georgia. Y'all pray for me, okay? I'm hoping I feel the burden my wife drive. Amen. Don't y'all? Y'all, let's vote on that and we'll go from there. Amen. Can I say to you, listen, there's praying in Christ's name. Have you ever thought about that? Turn with me in your Bibles. I want you to see it. Look with me in John chapter 14. And notice with me what he says in verse 13. And in verse 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Whatever you're going to ask for when it comes to business with God, make sure that it'll glorify Him. Make sure that it'll uplift Him, and He'll be glorified in and through that. And God says you can ask. You can ask in my name. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Let me give you two reasons why. You think about that. Number one, can I say to you, He's our access. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Turn in your Bibles quickly to the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and verse 2. In 1, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also by faith, by access, we have..." I'm misquoting that. Turn with me. Romans chapter 5. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein you stand, and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God." I want you to see that through Christ, you and I have access to the Heavenly Father. It's not because you Papa do better pill. It's not because in a New Year's resolution, you're going to quit this, start that, stop this. Papa, whatever, do whatever. Act right, walk right, talk right, spit white. That's what they used to say. It's because we have access. He's our Savior. We've accepted Him into our lives, and we've given our lives and our hearts to Him. I want you to know that's the way that you can pray in Jesus' name and God hear and answer the prayers that you pray. Can I say to you, number two, He's a mediator. Look with me, if you will, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. He said, "For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus." There's only one mediator. There's only one go-between. It's Christ Jesus, our Lord. It's not by this, or it's not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to His mercy has saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord, that being justified by His grace. Let me stop right there. That's Titus chapter 3. You look back in verse 3, "For we ourselves were also sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers, lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us and washed us and forgave us and regenerated and redeemed and brought us into the family of God." I want you to know this with me. He's our mediator. Secondly, can I say to you, friend, when you think about praying in Christ's name, number two, can I say praying in the Spirit? Can I say it to you like that? It's not because you hollered out, "Mosheen, die, tie, bow, tie, Honda, Volkswagen, cut a watermelon, shoe, string, green bean, string, bean." And then you said, "I got it." What'd you get? Thank you, preacher. I needed that. Amen. What'd you get? Amen. I tell you what I got when I got saved. He took up His abode and began to live inside me. I can show you right then and there the Spirit of God. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, "In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." I believe that's how He says it. And He takes up His abode and begins to live with us. Turn in your Bibles. I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. I want you to see that. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, He said, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." Let me back up. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." I want you to see that there. He talks about prayers and He talks about supplications. And you know and I know that the Spirit of God does not take up room in the Scriptures because He's trying to say the same thing two different ways, prayers and supplications. I want you to understand they have different meanings. The first one is the meaning of worship. It's where you and I take time and we begin to spend time with our Savior and we call out to the God of heaven. And maybe you want to shed a tear or two. Maybe you want to tell Him the hard things that's in your life. But oh, friend of mine, listen, start out with confession and start in. We'll talk about it in just a second, communion. But spend time before the throne of grace. Don't be a stranger. I mean, listen, friend, don't be one of those casual persons that just gets up and goes about your business. And then when some little old light thing comes your way, you call out to God as if it was the Titanic sinking. I mean, listen to me, friend. Spend time. Let Him get to know who you are. That's my youngin' right there. Boy, they're calling on me one more time. They're asking, boy, listen to that worship. I mean, I'm looking down and I'm seeing the tears in the saint, my saint that's praying to me. And I'm listening to the supplications and the requests. He wants us to worship. I think about my wife. I knew a girl and I saw her one Saturday night in town. That's what you done in Dalton. You just drag Maine. That's where boy meets girl. I don't guess I had any girls in high school, but that's where you met them at, amen? Now, y'all know I'm joking, okay? But you know, listen, I pulled her over and I said, "Cindy, who's that little old blonde?" And she said, "Her name's Gail." I said, "You get me a date with her." And she said, "You get me a date?" I said, "That's it right there. I'll get you a date." And you know what? They dated at night and they got married, amen? Can you imagine that next day when they woke up and she looked over at him? Whew. Never mind, I'm joking about that, amen? But you know what? Listen, Gail and I, we started dating. And I don't know about you. I don't know how you fellas got your wife. Get in here. I don't know about you, But I remember that first date we had. Boy, I put shale. I didn't use none of that down at the raceway. No, sir. It was 25.9. I used that 34.9 that you could buy up at the Cracker Barrel, and it was shale gas, okay? Boy, I mean, we pulled out in that GTO. That stands for gas, tires, and oil, amen? And I mean, listen, I didn't know where to take her. I didn't know whether to take her and buy her a hamburger. I didn't know what to do. And I said, where you want to go? And she said, I don't know where you want to go. And we went to Cleveland. Well, she ain't never been to Cleveland all her born days, I don't think, maybe once or twice. And she is probably wondering what we was doing up there. I was wondering what we could do, you know what I mean? What can I think of to impress this girl? And you know, listen, I remember that first time I held her hand. Ooh. I reached over there and got that hand. My old heart. Listen, I asked her, I said, you believe in love at first sight? And she said, I sure do. I said, come over here, baby, and give me a kiss. She said, you try to kiss me, I'll call the law. I slipped over when she wasn't looking and got me some sugar, and she went, law, law. Y'all will get that in just a minute, amen. I've had her ever since, amen. Hey, what are you saying? I wanted to spend time with her. I wanted to get to know this girl. I wanted to get to love her. And you know what? God allowed that to take place. I wasn't saved. She was saved. Well, I know it was a mixed marriage, but I got saved 2 months after we got married. And God began to put us together and make our home one. And you know, listen, I've still got her today. Amen. I've got two friends. I tell her, if you ever leave me, listen, pack my bags. I'm going with you. I've got two friends that'll buy anything for me. They'll buy me plane tickets. They'll buy me a boat ride. I know you're thinking, oh, you must have some pretty rich friends. I sure do. One's American Express and the other one's Visa. I'll let y'all figure that out, amen. If she's going to leave me, I'm going with her because she's got the checkbook anyway. So why not? You understand what I'm saying? Hey, I'm trying to tell you something. I wanted to spend time with her because I wanted to win her heart and I wanted to make her mine, and she became mine. I remember when we went down to Sturchy's Furniture and Ring Department, okay? And boy, I mean, we got her, picked her out an engagement ring, and listen, boy, I had my ring. I couldn't wait till that day. And I remember that day that we got married, and you know, I had $25 in my pocket. Man, I thought I was doing all right. I thought that preacher wouldn't take it. I pulled out the 20 and gave it to him. Doggone if he didn't put it in his pocket. He didn't give it back. And I'm thinking, where are we going to go on a full tank of gas and $5, okay? And we were headed to Pigeon Forge, didn't make it there, got rained out, and we spent our honeymoon night somewhere between here and there. I mean, between there and there, okay? And you know what I'm saying? I spent time with her. I worked, I labored, I wanted to make her happy, I wanted her to be mine. Listen, what do you need out of the hand of God? What do you want from the hand of God? Hey, listen, why don't you spend time and communion and worship and adore and bless His name? It wouldn't hurt you to shed some tears every now and then and call out to God. And then you get lost in prayer. Some of those things that you've been asking for, you may not need them after all. Listen to me. I'm talking to you about when a baby gets sick and you have no recourse. My wife says, I always tell this wrong, so I'm going to tell the short version or the evangelistic version, okay? But I remember one night when we had a little old boy, and every time we turned around, our boy, he was having ear infections, and they were talking about putting tubes in his ears. I thought they was talking about putting tunnels in his ears. How are you going to put a tunnel tube in his ear? I didn't know. And you know, listen, I remember he was red-faced, and he was irritated, and he was slapping his ear because it was hurting him and everything like that. And it was late at night, and we got down on our knees. I remember that, and we prayed, and we asked of the Lord. And it was about 30 minutes, and that little old fellow went off to sleep, and he slept all night. I think we took him to the doctor after that. And you know, listen, I believe that was one of the last, if not the last time, we had to worry with that child having another ear infection. I mean, every time we turned around, he'd get well, they'd give us amoxicillin, this a cillin, that a cillin, persimmon cillin, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? And God would hear and he would answer the prayers that we prayed. They knew us down at the drugstore very good. We had an account down there. And I mean, listen, we'd get a few dollars ahead, and guess what? We'd have to pay off the account at the drugstore and go from there. I'm telling you something. Spend time before the throne of grace and ask of the Lord and seek his face and see what he'll do in your lives. I know it's getting late. I understand that. Let's go on, okay? Can I say to you, listen, when you think about this praying in the Spirit, we think about what's he looking for. I want to give you three things very quickly. He's looking for a lowly heart, Psalms 138 and verse 6. The Bible says, though the Lord be high, yet shall he have respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Listen, get your heart down to a lowly position. Open up your heart and let him look in and let him see. You have been praying? Let me ask you a question. Some of you old saints probably know what I'm talking about, but you have been praying when you got something hid from God. You think you got it hid. You think you're doing all right and God don't see, but you got it hid. And God keeps saying, hey, open up your coat and let's look at, what's that right there? You understand what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about, don't you, preacher? I'm talking about sin. God wants it all. God wants a lowly heart. Let me give you something else. He's looking for a truthful heart. You look with me, if you will, in Psalms 145 and verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to them that call upon him in truth. Tell him what's in your heart. He's not looking for great or fancy words. He already knows the limitation that you are and my limitations. He's just wanting to see the heart. Open it up before God. Can I say to you, number three, listen, he's looking for a whole heart. You look in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart, with all of your heart, with all of your heart. God wants the whole heart. Oh, listen, let me go on. Praying in faith, I'll give you this very quickly. I think about, you can turn to the book of Jude if you will. And in Jude verse 20, the Bible says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let's stop right there for just a second. I want you to notice with me what God calls your faith. I want you to see it. You may be thinking about your faith, how you're so small and you're so limited and you don't have a great faith or whatever. But I want you to see one word that God uses expressing your faith and mine. Let me read it to you again. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Can I say to you that when you come before God in faith and you're pouring your heart out to him, that comes as a sweet fragrance, that comes into the nostrils of God, and God smells that, and God is well pleased. It's a carnal illustration, let me give it to you. I think about my son when he was in Bible college. He went for 20 years and graduated with a 2-year Bible degree. Y'all get that, I'm joking. He's pastoring a church in Michigan now. And, you know, I think about how that he would call in and he'd say to Mom, you know, I got one weekend where I get to come home and I can pick that weekend that I can come home, and I've been thinking about coming home. And he'd say something like, Mom, oh, would you make one of them chocolate bun cakes? Oh, you poke them holes in it, pour that chocolate in it, it just saturates down into it. He said, Mom, would you make some deviled eggs, heavenly eggs? Would you make some heavenly eggs? Mom, would you fry some good old southern fried chicken? Boy, I never eat that unless I'm with somebody or by myself, amen. Listen, he'd say, Mom, if you don't mind, could you make one of them chocolate pies? And he said, Mom, can you make some potato salad or cream potatoes? It doesn't matter. Mom, would you have us some biscuits? Mom, would you do this and would you do... Well, she'd go into Operation Save the Baby. That's what she'd do. She'd go into operation, save my baby, I got saving. And she'd fix it. I could walk in from downstairs, preacher, honestly, and I'd smell that smell as it permeated. And oh, listen, the whole house eating good in the neighborhood. I'm talking about eating good. Only problem was he'd bring about five of them. I think they had, they had tapeworms and holler legs. He'd bring about five of them home with him. They always come home to see my daughters, if you know what I'm saying. And they'd always say, thank you, Miss Gregory. Thank you. Thank you for dinner. That was so good. I'd say, leave a tip under the table or leave a tip under your plate. We never got a tip. I'd always look at him and say, all right, you following me. I'm going first. Oh, mac and cheese. Man, you talking about eating good. And you know what? Listen, it's that fragrance. And when you're praying and the Holy Ghost of God, He smells that breath. I mean, He smells that prayer. He gathers it up. And He takes that in His hands to the right hand of the Father. And there our Savior is. And our Savior turns to the Father. And the Father sends back grace to help in time of need. You're missing out. I'm missing out. We're missing out because we're not praying through. Now let me show you what He hates. I'll be through here in just a second. Don't get worried. I know we're going to miss out on Doc Shock and Dean Bat on Channel 51. You should have taped it. Look with me. I'm joking, preacher. I hope they don't get mad. They're looking at me like... Listen, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. I want you to notice with me in verse 11 and 12. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now listen, get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. He says right here, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I'll give you another carnal, fleshly. I drive all the time. Sometimes I may go 150, 300 miles and I'm tired. I pull off with the intentions of getting a cup of coffee and going on about my drive. May have to go into a restroom to wash my hands. You men know what I'm talking about when you walk into a men's bathroom and it hadn't been attended to in several years. You do your business, you walk outside and you go, how do you think unbelief's in the nostrils of God? It's a stench. It's a stench. Many years ago, we were on debitation. And God put in my heart to pray. And I'd pray and I'd ask the Lord, Lord, how many do you want me to pray for as far as our support's concerned that will take us on? Sometimes He'd say two, three. 1 month He gave me an unusually high amount. I think it was 11. And I said, 11? God answered back and said, all right. You'll get the one. That's all you'll get. My unbelief was a stench. Our unbelief stinks. But when you just simply, oh Lord, I want to say again, how long has it been
since you've had tears. We're taught all our life men are not to cry. It's a sign of weakness. And yet God give to men and women tear ducts with the ability of washing our soul out. How long's it been? Hey, look here. Well, I don't know if I like that kind of preaching. Well, that's because I'm preaching. Now, he can tell me to quit, and I'll quit. How long has it been since you've called out to God in prayer? Prostrate before the throne. I'll quit right here. Praying in gratitude. Praying in great lengths. What we're talking about is praying. I want to ask you. You're the only one I know, and I don't know you, okay? Don't be embarrassed. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But as an example, how long has it been since you took your wife and got a hold of that little baby and you've been to the prayer, to the altar? In our church, we had three rows. For a long time, the young people would live, would be seated, not live, excuse me, be seated in this area here. Evangelists would come through, our pastor would preach, somebody. I'd call Gail. I'd look at my kids. They'd kneel. Always tried. You say, is that religious? Felt good. Felt good. Always tried to put my arms around every one of them. Lord, this is my little covey. Oh, Lord, help us. How long are your grandpas, your grandmothers, been since you've prayed for a baby? I see it fell in your hands back there. How long has it been since you've, oh God, help my boy? Is that one yours, ma'am? Oh God, help my son. Oh God, help my wife. You may not need that prayer now, but you may be needing it later on this evening or the first thing in the morning. I'm not fussing at you. I'm not trying to be smart, preacher, in any way, shape, form, or fashion. I'm just telling you what works. Are you listening? I'm just telling you what works. Father, we're going to give an invitation. Please, ma'am, come to the piano and the guitar, please, sir, the bass, our choir director, if you will. Would you help us, Lord, please?